Thank God for the book of Proverbs. I'm telling you, I've always really liked the book of Songs of Solomon. I really have. When I was a young preacher, or young Christian, whatever you call it, the Lord began to show me some things about the Songs of Solomon, and it's always been special. But I tell you something, man, I love the book of Proverbs. I love it every day. I just do. And I can remember times in my life where people was like, oh man, you know, just sort of like the book of Revelation, you know, oh man, you just need to leave that alone. Why? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then, boy, that Proverbs, that'll make you mean. You need to stay out of that Proverbs. You read that Proverbs, you better read five chapters of Psalms. And that may be a good idea. You know, you can't read too much of this book. But let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. We'll try to go down through here. And I'm going to have to wear my glasses because I've only got small print. Steph, you need to remind me to call and find out about the pricing on these printed Bibles. I've had it in the works for a month, so I ain't heard nothing about it. Just remind me about the Bibles, and I'll, you know, during work hours, and I can make some phone calls. I've touched on most of this stuff before, but it's, you know, it's just once in a while I'll get something that's fresh to me, and I want to go back over it. And if we touch on things that we've already touched on, good. So be it, because repetition is a good way of learning, and it never hurts to hear it over and over, right? Well, it's one thing about this blessed book. I never get tired of hearing what's in it. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, watch this, and to the young man, knowledge and discretion. I don't want to get bogged down early because I want to get on toward the end of this, but one of the things that I notice in our day to day, and I would probably be okay to say that my grandpa probably could have said the same thing, and then my daddy could have said the same thing, but there's one thing I notice, Zach, that discretion is almost a thing of the past among young men anymore. Discretion is almost a thing of the past, but amongst young people anymore. What is that? Discretion is just good judgment. It's discernment, and knowing how to handle certain situations, and having discernment in situations and in life. It's almost a thing of the past anymore. But this is what he said. He said, "Wisdom will give a young man discretion." It's pretty good. Then listen to what your Bible says. A wise man will hear. Now, y'all, all my life, I've always thought there's two sides to every story. And I always thought the flip side to the wise man is what? What's the other thing? What's the opposite of a wise man?
Two.
Yeah, a fool. That's right, a fool. Two. But I translated that into fool. It was close enough. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. Hey, mama, you know what these people are that you can't tell nothing to? They're fools. You know what people are that you can't teach nothing? You know, you hear Zach and I talk about teachable spirit. I'll never believe that a person can be saved and not have a teachable spirit. Because the Spirit of God moves in inside that person and gives them a teachable. God gives them a new spirit, and it's a teachable spirit. That's one of the works of grace in an individual's heart. One of the evidences of a work of grace in a person's life is that they'll have a teachable spirit. And here your Bible says that a wise man will hear and increase learning. He'll continue to learn. Man, I tell you, I called Brother McVeigh today just to pick his brain on a certain matter, right? I mean, just to get his two cents. Why? Because I wanted to learn something. You know, I got in a place I thought I understood, I thought I knew, but I said, well, let's pick somebody else's brain and see what they got to say. Because there's safety in a multitude of counseling. There's wisdom in that. So I like learning. I do like learning. And, but then he said, a wise man will hear, a fool won't, and will increase learning, a fool won't. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, but a fool won't. Isn't it amazing every time people want to do wrong who they go to for counsel? They don't go to wise people, they go to foolish people. They go to worldly people, they go to sinners, they go to vile people, they go to rich people. They go to people that ain't walking in the Spirit. Hey, if you want to do something wrong, if you want to indulge in your flesh, for God's sake, go check with somebody that's walking in the Spirit. Get some counsel from some godly people. Always compare themselves to carnal people. Always compare themselves to wicked people and ungodly people. Always comparing ourselves to people that aren't walking in the Spirit. I tell you, friend, we're not compare ourselves to nobody. Jesus Christ is the measurement. He's the light. We ought to hold ourselves up to that blessed book. Hold that book up to us and see how we measure up to that. Amen. We're to measure up to that blessed book right there. Don't nobody hold me up and compare me. I tell you that right now, I'll come up short every time. You get to know me, I promise you. I'll flip, flop, fail, do everything in the world but succeed. I tell you what we ought to do, we're to hold it up to our life, up to this book and see how we measure up. Right? I promise you, if you measure up to me, you're going to pass me by. I promise you that. Then he said to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Now, if you don't have wisdom, this means absolutely nothing. If you don't have some wisdom from the Lord, you're not going to really get a hold of what's in this book right here. Understand a proverb in the interpretation, the words of the wise in their dark saying. Listen to what he said. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. I wish somebody would say, man, you ever try to give anybody instruction and they despise it? Hey, back up, friend. Listen, the Bible teaches you don't even argue with that person lest you become a fool in yourself. That's right. What you want to do is just recognize what you're dealing with. You try to give some instruction. You try to give them a little bit of wisdom and try to help them, and they reject that. Listen to me. Back up and know within yourself, I'm dealing with a blooming fool here. That's what I'm dealing with. You sit and argue with them. Guess what the Bible says? You become as one of them. Right. No need arguing with them. You know, you ain't going to change them. Here's what I want to pick up. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Listen to this. Hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Here's what I got to say. Mamas and daddies, do your part. Listen to what he said right here. He said, hey, Gracie, listen to what the Bible said. Hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. You know what mamas ought to do? Daddies ought to instruct their kids. That's right. Daddies ought to give instruction in that home. They ought to give instruction in that life. But you know what mama ought to do? Mama ought to lay down the law, friend. That's right. Mama's the one that says, hey, the buck stops right here. And I know men like to smite their chest and swell with pride and show off their egos and all that. Say the buck stops with me. Let me tell you something. The Bible said that the mother lays down that law. Thank God for mothers that lay down the law. Amen. Now, Eric and Hannah loaned me a book on child rearing. And one of the great statements that I really liked in that book is this. If your kids have never hated you, then you've never been a good parent. Amen. If your kids have never hated you and they're of any kind of age, then you probably are no kind of a parent. Because I promise you, they're going to want to go one way, and mom and dad know best, and they're going to always lay down that law. Mama's going to lay down the law, and daddy's going to give that instruction, and them kids is going to sit over there and despise it if they got foolishness in their heart, right? They got foolishness in their heart. That's good stuff, man. Hear the instruction of thy father. Listen. When your mama lays down the law, don't forsake that law. Don't get away from it. Don't leave that. Cling to that. Hold on to that. Embrace that. Cherish that. Man, mama said. Mama said. Mama said. Thank God for mamas that lay down the law.
Don't compromise, Mom. Don't give in. You know, if God wanted you to compromise the laws, He would have given them to us on wood. Something that's flexible. Something that we can learn how to bend a little bit. But God gave us them laws on stone, because you either obey them laws or you just break them laws. You don't compromise them laws. You don't bend the laws. They're not flexible, friend. God's not like that. It's either this way or it's no way. God said it's either yea or it's nay. It's black or it's white. And that's what moms are to do, or lay down that law. No! Your daddy wouldn't have that. That's a pretty good law, Mom. Yes, your daddy would be pleased with that. Yes, the Lord would be pleased with that. No, God wouldn't be pleased with that. Keepers of the home, ain't that something? Good stuff. As a parent, we had this Bible, and this Bible lays down the law in itself. But when mom and dads move the boundaries, listen, this blessed book right here is the laws. It is the laws. It is the Word of God. But when moms and dads begin to bend those laws, or when moms and dads take those laws and begin to push back those boundaries or broaden those boundaries, just, you know what happens? It causes confusion. Because the law has already been laid. And when moms and dads compromise that, when moms and dads bend that, when moms and dads go contrary, when moms and dads try to stretch it out to give their kid a little more space, it doesn't help your child. It just causes chaos and confusion in their life. That's all it does. You got to stay strong. Gotta stay strong. Thank God. What we ought to do is hold the line. We were to fortify our homes. We were to make no provision for this nasty, stinking, filthy, God-hating, sin-loving, rotten to the core flesh. You can't make any provision. You can't give it an inch. You can't give it an inch. Dear God, you give this stinking, rotten stuff an inch, and I'm telling you, it'll destroy you. It won't take a mile. It'll destroy your life. You can't give the flesh. You can't make provision for it. There's been times in my life, and I still think about it from time to time, where I'm thinking about just isolating myself from this world, in my home, inside my home, completely isolating myself from this whole world. Because I don't like making provision for my flesh. Right. That's right. Well, Mom, lay down the law and leave it alone. Thank God for the ones that do. Laws ain't to be compromised. You know what the biggest enemy of the law is? You know what the biggest enemy in our day, I would say, one of the largest enemies, one of the largest problems that we have with this law today is called convenience. You know why people break so many laws? It just ain't convenient. You know why moms and dads make so many compromises? Because of convenience. Sometimes things ain't convenient. So we, you know, because it ain't convenient, we make some compromises in our life. We start pushing the boundaries back a little bit. Doesn't matter. God didn't say anything about convenience. Not always convenient. I tell you, old Bob Jones said it right. Jones Sr., let me say that. Bob Jones Sr. said it right. It's never right to do wrong. It's never right to do wrong, to do right. That's right. Just do right, amen. Hey, friend, it ain't right to break them laws. It ain't right to compromise. It ain't right to push back the boundaries. It doesn't matter how convenient or inconvenient it is. Look at verse 9. The Bible says, for they shall be an ornament. What? That instruction, those laws, they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head. Chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Boy, if sinners entice you, don't go along with them. For God's sake, stay out of that. If they say, listen, if they say, come with us, let us lay and wait for blood. Let us lurk proudly for the innocent without cause. Isn't that something? Let us swallow them up. Boy, you know that's what happens. That's just what happens. They lay wait for the innocent without a cause, Miss Anthony. They ain't got no reason to be out there destroying purities. Hey, friend, you think for a half a second they give a flip about a virgin? Listen, man, people don't just lose their virginity today. They give that stuff away. Girls can't wait to suck that stuff off of them.
That's what he's talking about. They just wait. They lurk and they wait. They're looking for some innocent. They're looking for some flower to steal. They're looking for some purity to destroy. They're looking for some mind to corrupt. They're looking for... That's right, friend. That's what they do. It's what the devil's doing. He's out there lurking, looking. The Bible said if they consent, if they entice thee, consent thou not. Run from them, praise God, run. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. They say, come with us, let us wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. What's this? We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Ain't that what they want? Man, just gain, greedy. Just I want, give me more. Oh, friend, but listen, nothing satisfies. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Come join us. Let us all have one purse. What's this? I love it. Wisest man that God ever let live said, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Oh, son, don't even get in that path. I'm telling you, it's a path well trodden. You stay out. If you have to pioneer a new path, if you have to walk through the weeds, if you have to crawl through the thistle, son, you do what you got to do. I wouldn't even walk in the same path as them cowards. Wouldn't even do it. Don't walk in their path. Don't put your foot on the path that they walk in. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. What's this? Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. You understand that Satan has laid snares in your life. He's laid snares in front of you. He's laid snares around you. He's wanting to trap you today. It doesn't matter what your age is. It don't matter if you're 1 or 100, friend. There's snares, there's traps, there's problems, there's things, there's dangers around us. And the devil, he's constantly wanting to ensnare us and trap us. And here's what people say. Well, I don't think anything's wrong with what I'm doing. I don't, and I mean honest before God, listen to me, congregation. People, honestly, in their mind, they've got it fixated so much, Zach, that they really, really don't see anything wrong with what they're doing. Yeah. You can't tell them. They don't see anything wrong with it. I'm telling you, man, they've been deceived. The wool is over their eyes. You know why? Do you know why they don't see it? Because how stupid would the devil be to lay a net out there for the birds to see it? Oh, them birds are flying into that net. If you're going to catch a bird, you better not set up a big net where he can see it. You'll never catch a bird. I mean, he'll see that net. He'll go around it. He'll go over it. He'll go under it. He'll go around it. He'll go somewhere. But I'll tell you, if he sees that net, you say, I don't see nothing. No, because you don't see the net that's out there. But I promise you, there's a net. And many times people can get caught up in the net and still not have a clue that they're so entrapped and snared in the works of Satan. Well, why don't people see? Because men tend to think that they're doing what's right in their own eyes. Ain't that what your Bible says? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And it wasn't right to God, but it was right to man. And verse number 17 tells us that the net is spread in vain if you can see it anyways. That's why people can't see it, because that net ain't, it's an invisible net. He's not got to sit out there going, hey, come on, I'm going to get you. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to ruin and wreck your life. I'm going to take you innocence right here. Come on over here. I'm telling you, friend, most people just go, I don't know if I want anything to do with that. Come on. I mean, you know, how many times have you heard it, Lord God? The devil's just waiting for people. Let me ask you, do you or have you ever went around looking for some poop
to step in. You know, I went outside this morning. It was still dark, Miss Debbie, but you know what? Because we got a dog, I have to be careful about where I step in the dark. Miss Holly, the last thing I want to do is walk out across my yard and step in old Huey Nuggets. And I just don't want to do it. I mean, you know, precious or not, I don't want to step into a dog nugget. Why in the name of God would we go out there and walk in the path of this world? Because I promise you, sooner or later you're going to step in it. Sooner or later. Sooner or later. Miss Holly said, man, them old preachers, they don't know about to tell them that. But you know what? I know people settle their bed and hurt. I know people question things in their mind. I know people suffering because of sin. I know people go through junk and I know sometimes that people sit around, they think nobody understands. I'm going to tell you, people understand. People understand. It's just sin. It's just sin. The wages of sin is death. I'm telling you, it's no good. People don't look to do that sort of thing. People's not looking just to step in piles of dog stuff. They're not doing it. But beloved, you run around in the dark long enough, whether you like it or not, you're going to step in some junk sooner or later. Sooner or later, you're going to get in some junk. I'm just saying, if you run with this world's crowd, then you can mark it down. You're going to get snared by Satan, and you may spend years before you ever do get out of them snares. And listen to me, a lot of people never even do get out of them snares. But the ones that do get out of them snares, they come out with some bearing some marks in their old body. You hear me? They come out with some baggage. They come out with scars. They come out with regrets. They come out with guilt. They come out with shame. Nobody comes out of there going, yeah, man, I did. No, sir, friend, you listen to people testify in the house of God. If anybody can even stand to tell what they used to be, they're not proud of what they used to be before they got saved. I've never met a woman that give herself to another on the street. I've never heard her brag about that. If she got saved by the grace of God, they were ashamed of it. I'm just telling you, friend, you're going to have to bear that junk. Wouldn't it be good to live your life without having to bear most of this stuff? And you don't have to. God's give us a way of escape. Look at verse number 18. They lay wait for their own blood. Do you see that? And they lay wait for the God said they're looking for other people's blood, but I'm going to tell you who it's going to get. They're going to get theirself. That's who's going to get got. They're going to get theirself. It's going to cost you. They lurk privately for their own lives, he said. Oh, they're sitting out there going, hey, let's get these. Let's get these innocent. Let's go after them without a cause. God said they're going to destroy their own life is what they're going to do. They may look to destroy everybody else and they may infect some people along the way, but I tell you what sin will do. It'll end up destroying your life. That's what it'll do. Verse number 19, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Verse number 20, what's this? This is my stuff right here. Wisdom crieth without. Now, isn't that a sad phrase right there? Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. What is that chief place of concourse? What is concourse? Concourse is simply where people are. She's crying where people are. Wisdom's not off down there in the woods crying by herself, calling out to people where nobody is. No, wisdom comes up here in the church. That's right. Wisdom goes to church and cries out from a pulpit. Wisdom will go down there to the house and cry out of the mouth of a mom or a dad. It'll go to school and cry out of the mouth of a teacher. It'll cry out the mouth of a friend. Wisdom goes to where the people are. Cries, says, come, listen, listen to my laws, listen and live. Dear God, concourse is where the people are. Just think, if you could sit down, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, think about this. Think if you could sit down and discuss business with Warren Buffett. Wouldn't that be good? I mean, it'd kind of be interesting to be able to sit down with one of the richest men in the United States of America, one of the most successful businessmen. Wouldn't it be something to be able to sit down with Warren Buffett and be able to sit there and talk to him about business? Wouldn't it be something to be able to go over there and sit down with Bill Gates and try to get some kind of an understanding of the Microsoft world? Wouldn't it be something to be able to go over there and sit down and just pick his brain and listen to his story and let him tell you some things about modern technology? I mean, billions and billions of dollars these men have obtained. Can I tell you something better? Hallelujah. If you'll just get off over there, I will say wisdom said, crying. Wisdom said, I want to sit down and talk to you. Wisdom is simply saying, I want to carry on some conversations with you. You think Warren Buffett knows something? You think Bill Gates is sharp? Son, you talking about somebody knowing something? Wisdom has been there, ladies and gentlemen, since before the foundation of the world ever was. Wisdom has seen Microsoft arise. Wisdom has seen Warren Buffett's business arise. Wisdom was way before Donald Trump ever built his first building or borrowed his first dollar. I'm telling you, wisdom wants to sit down and talk to you. Wouldn't it be something to sit down and just talk with wisdom for a while? What is wisdom? Somebody tell me. We talked about it. Who is wisdom? Who is that person that was with God at the beginning of time? Who is it that was with God when God stepped down and said, let us make man in our... Who was that? It was Jesus. Jesus Christ is that wisdom. He said, I want to have a conversation with you. I want to talk to you. I'm telling you, it'd be good. People sit around, listen to me, church. People sit around and talk about, boy, I get to heaven. I'm going to see old Apostle Paul. And you know what? That'll be fine and dandy. That'll be fine and dandy. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Wisdom will teach Apostle Paul a thing or two. Apostle Paul has to get in line and stand behind wisdom. I'm telling you, friend, if we could just sit down here in the nasty now, and sit down over there and have a conversation with wisdom, he's wanting to shed his graces and his wonderful knowledge in our life. Isn't that amazing? Wisdom wants to do that for us. Wants to give us understanding. Wants to give us knowledge. Wants to give us discretion. Wants to give us all these justice and judgment and equity. Isn't that something? Wants to give us all that. You say, how do I get that? You get that through wisdom. How do I get that wisdom? The Bible said, ask God for it. He gives it literally. And when I tell you, the Bible said that wisdom is standing in the chief places, in the concourses, going to where people are, and said, hey, come here. I want to talk to you. Come here. I want to talk to you. That's wisdom. Be good to sit down and talk a little bit. What if you could go back and sit down and talk to wisdom? You realize that everything that Adam did, hey folks, Adam was, he named all them animals. I mean, Adam was pretty sharp cat. I mean, he's pretty sharp. But then you know how he named all them animals? Wisdom. Old Noah, he had never built an ark. Nobody ever heard of water, rain, floods, none of that, no rain like that. Nobody ever heard of rain like that. Nobody had boats. God told Noah, he said, I want you to build an ark. Never built up. How did he build that ark, Zach? Wisdom. God gave him wisdom. You go over to that tabernacle over there in the wilderness. And the Bible says that God gave men wisdom to get things built in that. That thing was erected. That tabernacle. I wish you'd study it, man, all the details in it. It wasn't just a tent. They didn't go over there and just stick up some poles in the ground and throw a big old canvas up. Friend, it was something to that. I mean, it was something. It was amazing. All that stuff was overlaid in gold. I mean, man, they had to build this stuff out of gopher wood and all these other different type of woods, and they'd have to overlay it in gold, and they had to put them rings in it and put them staves to it. I mean, man, everything was detailed down to the T. And you know how they knew how to do that? Wisdom. Let me ask y'all a question. How many of y'all could take and build that ark today? Just like it was in the Bible. And overlay, how many of you could take that thing and build it like they did in the Bible to the specs exactly, measurement up, and just overlay that thing in gold? Only I know how much, Stephanie. But you know what? God gave me the wisdom, I can do it.
There was people that did embroidery work in that tabernacle. They did embroidery work. I mean, beautiful stitchery and stuff like that on those drapes and all those curtains. All that. I mean, just something beautiful to behold. Out in a wilderness? Are you kidding me? All them fine jewels and all that fine linen. Thank God they brought with them out of the land of Egypt. God put it over in the house of God. Told them how to take that thing, all that tapestry, and do all that fine embroidered work. You know how they knew how to do that? The Bible said, God give them wisdom to do all that tapestry. And it gave contractors, God gave them contractors. And he gave those contractors a special wisdom to get this job. It's amazing, isn't it?
I'm telling you, friend, God, it's amazing what wisdom would do for us today. We'd sit down and carry on a conversation, get in that blessed book right there. It's full of Proverbs is full of wisdom. I'm telling you, listen to me. There's not a question in this life that cannot be answered with that book. Not one question in life cannot be answered with that book. Every question in life, that book has the answer. Every one of them. Thank God. Amen. Well, wisdom is referred to as a woman here in the Psalms, in the Proverbs, and I say she wants to carry on a conversation with you. That's what she says. I want to talk to you. Just crying out, wanting to have conversation, wanting to fellowship with us. Then look at verse number 22. She uttereth her words saying, verse 22, how long ye simple ones will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in scornings, and fools hate knowledge. How long? How far do people have to go? How stupid can you be? It's pretty tough, ain't it? We can see in verse number 22, she just wants to have a relationship even with those people that reject her. She's going, how long? The people that says, I don't want nothing to do with you. How long? How long are you going to do this? I'm sitting here. I'm waiting on you. I'm crying out. How long is it going to take before you realize I'm sitting here to offer you everything? Your Bible asks a question. And it says it like this. This is what it's basically saying. Paraphrase this question. Hey, fool, how long are you going to hate me? How long are you going to reject me? That's what wisdom is saying. Hey, fool, how long are you going to hate me? How long? How long are you going to reject me? Isn't that something? That's sad, isn't it? She calls this person a fool because the Bible says that they hate wisdom. And the Bible says they that hate wisdom love death. Is that so? Is that what your Bible says? People that hate wisdom love death. It's not very smart, is it? No, that's not smart. Verse number 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. She says, if you will turn unto me, I'll make my ways known unto you. Ain't that something? Verse number 24 and 25. Because I have called and ye refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set it in all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Now look, if you will, please, at verse number 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Look at chapter number 8. Chapter 8, verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to what? Somebody tell me. What is the fear of the Lord? Hate evil. Let me ask you a question. Do you hate evil? Do you hate evil? Some people love it. Am I wrong? Some people love that junk. I mean, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming up on Halloween. Save your seeking money. Bring me the candy. Huh? You don't have to decorate your house. Just go buy me a bag of candy. I'll be happy as a lark, Mr. Ed. I like Smarties. Yeah. Get two or three bags because some of them are real sour and some of them sweet. Am I right, Stephen? Some of them sweeter than others. I'd like to get the recipe mixed up somehow. And I can kind of sort through them if I got a couple bags and get the ones that I want. But
You know, don't bring none of that candy corn. I hate that stuff. That's just, you know, expensive wax. Don't bring no candy apples unless you get them off of 23rd, 24th Street, off the corner of 23rd and Glen. Get the razor blades out of them before you give them to me. I have to check all the kids' candy, make sure it's all right. By the time I'm done, I'm sick. Say, so, preacher, what are you telling me? I'm just telling you, people love evil. Some people love it, man. It's amazing how they just flock to it and run to it. And the Bible says that, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Guess what else you hate? Pride. Remember what the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge, right? You don't know why people are so acknowledged? Because they love pride. Then he said, and arrogancy. My mind immediately goes to a couple people when I see that word arrogant. And the evil way. And the froward mouth. God said, do I hate it? God even said, I hate it. Wisdom said, I hate it. Jesus said, I hate it. I hate pride. I hate the evil way. I hate evil. I hate arrogancy. I hate the froward mouth. What is that froward mouth? Can anybody tell me what the froward mouth is? I like participation, you know, because you might teach me something. Amber, you studied all of it. You remember what the froward mouth was? Let me tell you, give you a good little tip what the froward mouth is. Mama, daddy says to Junior, sit down over there and be still. That froward mouth.
That youngin begins to run that mouth. That youngin's got to say something. You understand? That's that fraud, that rebellion coming out of that mouth. It's even in their mind. It's in their heart. A lot of times it doesn't come out of their mouth, but God said, I'm going to tell you what I hate. I'm going to tell you what fear of God hates. It hates a froward mouth. It hates a youngin with a rebellious mouth. Isn't that amazing? God said, I hate that junk. I hate to hear a youngin talk back. Hey, listen, it doesn't have to be a youngin either. When was the last time somebody's boss man told them how to do something or told them to do something and that employee smarted off at that boss? Let me tell you something, that's wrong. That boss man's paying us to do jobs. It doesn't matter. Listen, man, I was doing electrical work, Miss Holly. I was doing electrical work as a young man trying to learn the electrical trade. And old Steve Hire done a great job. We worked 10 hours every day, 6 days a week. You remember that? I mean, we worked 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. We never ran out of work. We got down there in the winter one year and the work started slowing down because I went back to school. And I was in school and so, you know, the work wasn't just piled up waiting on me anymore. But old Steve, he took care of me, went and bought a spool of wire and spliced it, put light sockets all in it. We would string them lights all through that house and plug it in the temporary power pole, and he would let me work at night after school and such. Good to me. But Mom, I can remember a few times when they got a little low and the leaves was falling. I can remember old Steve going, boys, I don't want you to go out on the electric job. I want you to go down there to my house and rake my yard. Now, I had to work with an old boy that was just a little bit too good to do that. He's dead now. But I can remember him getting all blowed up and mad about it. Bah, I didn't get this job. I didn't get this job to rake leaves. I didn't get this job to do yards. I just looked at him. I said, hey, big boy. I said, that man's going to pay me the same to rake that yard as he is to pull wire. I'm going to flip. I got to do something for 8 hours. I might as well rake his yard. I don't care. I'm telling you, God, hey, listen, sit around being disgruntled. Thank God you got something to do. It may not be what you want, but thank God you got something to do. Amen. I'm telling you, when you sit at home and ain't got no income and you ain't got nobody calling you and ain't no, oh, I'm telling you, friend, that ain't no fun. You'd be looking for a yard to rake. I promise you that. Be looking for something, a weed to pull. Amen. Well, just gets rough, ladies and gentlemen. That froward mouth. God said, it's a rebellious mouth. It's a mouth that back talks. It's a mouth that speaks against the truth. Yeah. That's pretty good.
You understand what wisdom has to say is, wisdom said, I hate evil, I hate pride, and if you're gonna fear God, you're gonna have to hate it. You ever bow up against authority? Listen. You ever bow up against mom or dad? You ever bow up against boss or preacher? You ever bow up against God's word? You ever have quarrels with others? Listen, are you listening? You ever have any kind of quarrel with anybody? You ever have any kind of contention in your life with anybody? You know what that is, Miss Holly? What is that? What's that contention come by? Only by what? Being right? Doing the right things? Hate me? No. Contention cometh only by pride. I'm going to tell you why we have problems with that. Listen, you know most of the time when you have church problems in a congregation, it's not sinners that's causing the problem. It's not people that say, hey, I'm lost, I'm on my way to hell. Most time it's church folks that's got full of pride. That's why I've got their little feelings hurt. I'm telling you, they ain't hating evil. They don't hate the evil way. If they hated the evil way, they wouldn't dare say some of the things that they say. Pride, friend. How many lost people y'all know blow churches up? Most time it's folks claiming the name of Jesus. Amen. I had one down there by golly, they was back there in the back room throwing Kruger metal chairs. Every one of them throwing them chairs, pulling guns and threatening people. And they were threatening sinners that was coming to our church. And these folks said they were saved. I don't believe it, but they had religion, didn't they, Miss Stephanie? Take me back up. Preacher, we need to talk to you. Preach on a Sunday morning. Preacher, we need... None of the lost people ever said that to me. None of the sinners that came to church ever said, preacher, I need to talk to you back there in the back room. It was always the church people. Got back there, man. I'm telling you, they started going before you know it. I sat back there and closed my arms before it was all said and done. And I watched them suckers start fighting each other. And these chairs flying from that side of the room to that side. They throwing chairs and stuff at each other. I'm going, man, this is better than the WWE. I mean, I took a cut and pay just to sit in the back room. Am I lying? Lord have mercy, watch all that junk. People claiming the name of Jesus. You know what that's called? It's called pride. Nobody fearing God. Nobody hating the evil way. Man, that wasn't God. Huh? It wasn't God. You know why most people have a falling out with God anyway? You know where most people get tripped up? Listen, Eric, it's amazing that you can go in churches and you can preach doctrine and they may not always agree with your doctrine. But doctrine usually ain't the thing that tears everybody all to pieces. Now they say that doctrine divides and love, what is it, how's the little saying? Love unifies and doctrine divides. Let me tell you something, you better have some love and some doctrine. Amen. There better be a balance. And it might divide. And I say, man, there needs to be some of that. When I say divide, I'm talking about separation. But doctrine ain't what gets people tore up. Bear with me for a minute. How many people you ever know got bent out of shape because the preacher preached repentance? Huh? That's doctrine. I believe that you need to repent if you're ever going to get saved. If you don't repent, you ain't getting saved. I still believe that's in my Bible. Amen. I still believe in the doctrine of repentance, 2016. I still believe in the doctrine of repentance. I believe a man better repent or he's going to die and go to hell. That's what the Bible teaches. You don't have to. Now, I've stood, Mama, I've stood in front of people and talked to them about repentance. And they have looked at me, Eric, and said, Dave, I just don't believe that. But we remain friends. We remain pals. We remain close. I love them. They love me. We had a disagreement, but we didn't have a falling out. But when you start going over there and going, hey, women ought to dress like women, you're going to start having problems. It ain't doctrines that messes people up. It's biblical standards that messes people up. It ain't doctrine that messes everybody up. It's godly morals that messes people up.
Little boys, men ought to look like men. They ought to get their hair cut and look like a man. Let's God, they ought to put them on a pair of pants on with a zipper and strap it up with a belt. That's why, and wear some nice shoes and socks and wear you a good shirt and button it up, bless God. Don't nobody want to see them hairs. And, I mean, men ought to look like men. And they ought to treat women like ladies. And they ought to not look them up and down and just gawk all over them. But they ought to be able to look them in the eyes and carry on a conversation as if it was a lady they were talking to. You start telling men they ought to look like men, and they start, little old pansies, you start getting offended. I'm telling you, get your little old feelings hurt, huh? Brother Sammy said they run around and get the pooch mouth about that time. They get the pooch mouth because you done told them they need to be a man. I mean, little boys need to eat some dirt, ladies and gentlemen. It's okay. Little boys need to play with Tonka toys out of the mud hole. It's fine for boys to get muddy and dirty and gritty. And it's real good if we take them in and wash them. Good. I don't want my boy, bless God, in the kitchen playing with a little tight oven. No, I don't want my boy doing that. I'll give him a pocket knife and let him go out in the woods and cut a tree down. Boy. Little girls, listen, hey, I know people don't like it, but that's where you have a problem. You know who ought to see a woman's legs? There ain't two people in the world ought to ever see your thighs, lady. And that's your mama and your doctor. That's it. Amen. Your mama and your doctor is about the only. Hey, listen, man, I can preach repentance and get people to shout. But you start telling women, bless God, you're covering them ugly butt legs, huh? Nobody wants to see that cottage cheese. You ain't got nothing anyhow. Cover them up, amen. If I want cottage cheese, Miss Debbie, I'd go to the dairy aisle at the food line, amen. Don't come to the house of God and eyeball a bunch of cottage cheese. Lord God, cover that mess up. And I mean, man, most of them need to wear a flipping tent. I didn't come in here tonight to preach dress standards and stuff like that, but Miss Holly, what I'm trying to say is this is the stuff that gets people messed up. Sure it is.
Men ought to look like men and women ought to look like women and men ought to act like men. Let me go ahead and say this while I'm here. It just popped in my mind. God is an emotional God. He's jealous. He has hate. He has love. All those emotions God has. And guess what? He put those same emotions in me. Love, hate, I have compassion. I feel things. I hurt for things. I feel good for things. I get happy over things. I have all these emotions in myself. But you know what God never intended for me to do as a man? Let them stupid, silly little effeminate emotions control me. The things that I say. The way I act, the way I react, that's not what's supposed to control a man. Right. It's amazing that you can start dealing with stuff like that, and that's the very thing. That's the very thing that messes most people up. Isn't that good? Let me say that one more time, ladies. Nobody should ever see your cottage cheese but your husband and your gynecologist. Or your husband and your doctor. Amen. A doctor and a husband's the only person who will ever see your legs. Amen. Why does the Bible call your loins the secret place? I'm going to give you Bible on it. The Bible calls your loins the secret place. Study the loins. Look over all the way back into the Old Testament, plumb into the New Testament. Gird up the loins. The secret place. The secret place. Why? Because nobody's supposed to ever see that but your spouse and your doctor. And I say the doctor because he's got to. Amen. He's got to. And he sees so many of them, I doubt he enjoys too much of it anyway. I ought to cut that off. I know a couple of doctors and I've talked to them and they tell you some horror stories, man. I mean, they tell you some horror stories. Old Dr. Hendrick told me about old gal he got up there. He's a gynecologist. He told me about old gal he got up there on his little gynecologist table. He said that the thing turned over.
He said she was so heavy on one end, he popped her up in there and that thing got to leaning over on her.
And he said, there my head was stuck between her legs. I thought, oh God, help me, God. Help me, Jesus. Woo, you ought to hear some of them stories, man. Help me, Jesus. So, amen. Well, I just said the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Let's go back to chapter number 1. Chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 24. Said, because I'm going to wrap this up, okay? Says, because I have called and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. And I believe a whole lot of this dress wearing, about like old brother Asquith teaches it. People wear that stuff and don't even know how to wear it. I mean, listen. We've got somewhere in America, and you say, preacher, why are you doing this? Because, Zach, we've reached a place in America, and even in this church, where apparently the Word of God ain't being preached straight enough, true enough, right enough, sound enough, because we got people lost and dying and going to hell, and they some of them know and they some of them ain't. But I have a tendency to think if that Word was being preached like it ought to be preached, souls would be getting saved. Believe that. Doesn't do a whole lot of good to wear it if you can leave the date on that quarter in your back pocket, is what I'm trying to say. Amen. Wearing one but don't know how to wear it. I mean, if I could see the print of your underwear or the leopard print of your underwear, ain't no meaning wearing that thing over the top of it, is it? That's not knowing how to wear it. Or to be loose and flowing. Isn't that what modest means? Loose and flowing. That body ought to be a mystery, ladies. It ought to be a mystery. Amen. We're to cover this thing up here. Cover all that up. You know, it's just, it ought to be a mystery. That ought to be something special on that honeymoon night, praise God. That uncovering, that unveiling, that revealing. Man, what a special occasion. Man, what a special occasion. God loves it. God honors it. God smiles on that stuff, friend. I'm telling you, I've been to a few funerals I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to say that. I've been to a few weddings that was really God-honoring weddings. I've been to a few. Ah, Lord have mercy. Verse 25 says, but ye have said it not all my counsel with none of my reproof. Here's what he said. He said, I laugh at your calamities. I mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh, the desolation and destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. You know what people want to do? They want to wait till they hit the stinking bottom. They want to wait till hell breaks loose. They want to wait till chaos sets in. They want to wait till everything goes wrong. Then they go, okay, God, I'll sit and listen now. I'll talk the wisdom. Oh, God. I said, no, you won't. I'm going to laugh at your calamities. I'm going to mock when your fear comes. When that desolation and destruction comes upon you, friend, hey, that's an awful hard ladder to climb. Do you hear me? Boy, well, ain't it something to be like old Elijah and just walk over there and say a few words and God send down the fire from heaven? Why did God do that? Because he was a man that was after God's heart. He was living right. He was walking in the Spirit. He was obedient to the Word of God. And he opened his mouth and God honored what he asked for. I tell you, friend, you live like a bunch of dogs and the devil. Get out there, man, you have to have some fire from heaven. I'm telling you, son, that's a hard ladder to climb. God help us. Have to climb that thing and say, oh, God. I've been there many a times in my life, ladies and gentlemen, where I hadn't been where I ought to be when God and trouble comes. Man, I almost feel too guilty to even ask God to help. Well, I'm talking about a hard ladder to climb. You got to get over this junk first. So much better, Miss Holly, when you're reading that Bible and you're obeying that Bible and you're praying on a regular basis. When trouble comes and you just sit down, hey, nothing new, nothing's changed. Trouble showed up and you say, Lord, listen, church, Lord, I think about old Michael coming up in here. Working all day, It worries me to death sometimes on Wednesday to think he works all day. He's going to drive 3 hours to Wednesday night service. I want to make sure I'm prayed up. I want to make sure I'm studied up. I'd hate for you people to take the time out of your schedule, 2 to 3 hours, and people like him, 5 and 6 hours, to come out here and listen to a preacher that's wicked as hell, ain't prepared, ain't prayed, ain't done what I ought to do, friend. But I tell you, when trouble does come our way, when you're right with God, friend, it's easy to sit in there and say, God, you know where I'm at, you know where I've been, you know what I'm going through. God, would you help me? Think about little Nathan back there. God knows what that mama feels. God knows what that daddy feels. God knows what it's like to see their son suffering. God knows what it's like to look at his son and suffer and have to sit there and be able to do nothing about it. God knows what that feels like. You don't think there's a grace on that? You don't think God gets, boy, I tell you, son, it's good to be right with God. You can sit in there and pray. Man, God can give you a peace and an assurance. And man, this, hey, you know when Zach was sick over there, Miss Stephanie? I'm so glad that I was walking with the Lord, church. Miss Holly, I'm so glad I was walking with the Lord, and that doctor done said he had that disease and he done outlived his lifespan. He wasn't even supposed to be alive. It was just a miracle that he was even still going. I'm so glad, Mama, that I was walking with God. And about 10 foot before I got to my office door, God spoke to me and said, your son's going to be okay. Miss Holly, what if I hadn't been walking with God? I just kept on walking, son. I walked straight in that office. I picked up that phone. I called my pastor. I said, I'm going to tell you what God just told me. God just told me my son was going to be okay. And he may not look okay. I mean, he really may not look okay.
Jealousy.
But he's okay. Verse number 29. Why in the world would God laugh at their calamities? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. God said, I don't care about that. Listen, you rejected my wisdom. You rejected me. Verse 30 says, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Wisdom said, you didn't want nothing to do with me. Therefore shall they eat of the food of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay him, and the prosperity of the fool shall destroy him. You know what prosperity is in a fool? It's destruction. That's what prosperity does in a fool. It destroys them. Because the things that they go after is self-destruction. Wages of sin is death. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, now listen, wisdom said, whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Ain't that a blessing? Ain't that a blessing? You don't have to sit around and fear evil. Huh? God said, wisdom, let's read it again. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. God, wisdom said, I'll take that fear away from you. When you begin to fear God, I'll remove the fear of evil out of you. Tell a blessing. Hey, Miss Holly, that's what helped all them martyrs look them accusers in the eyes and say, I'm just going to stand with Jesus. Amen. So that's what helped all them people say when they was being burned at the stake and watching their daughters get raped and getting their heads cut off. All that torture that people, that helped them look them accusers in the eyes and say, I will not deny Jesus. He removed all that fear, ladies and gentlemen, from that evil. Ain't that a blessing? No matter what comes your way, doesn't matter what comes your way, God's going to take care of you. Amen. Listen, let me challenge you to do something because I don't want to do it and take up any more of your time tonight. But let me challenge you to go home and take Proverbs chapter 8 and read Proverbs chapter 8 tonight or in the morning. Sometime read Proverbs chapter 8. It's describing wisdom. It's giving you some real insight. It's that chapter that talks about wisdom being here. Since before the world was ever founded and all that stuff. Way back there. Wisdom's given a good description of itself. Man, I tell you, I read Proverbs chapter number 8 and I go, my God, man, I want to have some, I want that wisdom.
want that wisdom.
How you get it? You ask God for it. I'll tell you, it's in that book right there, friend. What He's going to give you, what God's going to give you, will come out of that book. Sure it will. Everything in life, right there. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for the precious Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to share a few verses. God, I pray that You'd take and appropriate this in our hearts and lives and help us, dear God, to grow in grace, knowledge, and truth. Help us, oh God, to let our light shine. Help us, oh God, to rightly divide. Give us understanding, Lord, of Thy Word. We love You and thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.